Wisp Sports Radio, the voice of women in sport.
Thank you for downloading Tucker Center Talks. This is season 2, episode 14. Listening to Tucker Center Talks, a podcast from the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sport at the University of Minnesota and a co-production with Wisp Sports. I'm your host for Tucker Center Talks, Dr. Nicole Lavoie, Director of the Tucker Center. In this podcast, I'll talk to Dr. Ann Peguerrero, the Lang Chair in Sport Management at the University of Guelph, across the border to my north in Canada. Welcome, Dr. Ann.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
So I've started this new tradition on the podcast of we want to recognize that we have PhDs, but we don't want to be so formal that we use our last name. So we're going to be Dr. Ann and Dr. Nicole instead of Ann and Nicole. So this is a new tradition I'm trying to start here that started with Dr. Akila and Dr. Joyce on a couple episodes back. So welcome. In general, your research focuses mainly on sport consumers, marketing and communication, and including all forms of media. You're well-published. You have, to my knowledge, the only chair in sport management in Canada. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That is exciting. And she is also the co-director with two other colleagues of ours, Ghislaine Demers and Gretchen Kerr, also in Canada. Anne is the National Research is the co-director. That's a long title. I'm going to have to be more fluid with that. It's longer than my own title. Okay. You're the co-director at the National Research Network for Gender Equity in Sport, which will soon have a new name, but we're not ready to say the new name yet. But when we do, you'll hear it here close to first. Dr. Ann and I have been talking with colleagues, Dr. Nancy Lowe at UNLV and Dr. Katie LaBelle at Ryerson, also in Canada, on disruptions in women's sport. So today we are launching, You heard it here first, a new dimension of Tucker Center Talks, which will be a joint venture between the Tucker Center and the Center, the National Research Network for Gender Equity in Sport in Canada. And we're going to regularly talk together and with colleagues about disruptions in women's sport and why they matter. So I'm really excited to add this dimension. So Dr. Ann, why don't you start with telling us how are we defining disruptions in women's sport and why does it matter that we're talking about disruptions? Because I think that's a good starting place.
I think it's a great starting place. So for me, I mean, there's a lot of stuff we could, you and I are academics, we could talk a lot about literature around disruption and what it means. But really to me, it's just a new way of doing business, whether it's product, service, that disrupts what's happening in the current model and usually leads to something that consumers like better, that sports fans are going to like better. And sometimes it's in conflict with the current model. And I think that's why it's important to talk about it. And particularly when we talk about women's sport, right? Like the current model that's basically the men's model, it hasn't necessarily worked. So why don't we talk about disrupting that model and what changes can come from that?
Yes, and you led me right in there, but let's be clear, when we're talking about the current model, the dominant normative model of sport, most people typically think of the male consumer model where men are the center, men lead it, it's by and for men, and women's sport is sort of an afterthought. Would that be accurate?
I think it's accurate. I think it's also the model of how they put men's sport on, and they assume that women's sports should be broadcast or packaged exactly the same way. So I think that it's this default model, right? The default always is men's sports, men's athletes. And what I think disruption does is change that default.
And if you want to read a little bit more about some of our thoughts on this, we have a fairly recent piece in the Sport Business Journal on changing the default for sports. So you could certainly look that up. It's with myself, Dr. Peguerrero, Dr. Lowe, and Dr. LaBelle. And it's just the beginning of starting this conversation and putting women's sport at the forefront and entering it into the conversation and disrupting this notion that we can do it better. And we actually have some data that will help us do that. So every time we talk on this podcast, we are going to talk about a current disruption in women's sport. And right now, because we haven't done this, there's a lot to talk about. So as of July 27th, 2020, when we are recording this, what would be the biggest disruption in women's sport happening right now in real time?
Well, there's lots to choose from, but I think right now in real time, we're seeing the WNBA disrupt. They're putting their season on in a different way, and they're dedicating it to social justice, and their numbers and the response over this opening weekend has been phenomenal. So I think they're disrupting the default that men's sport is the what everybody wants and showing that it's not true.
And can we talk about the orange hoodie?
What a great marketing ploy.
And how that is a disruptor. Please walk me through this orange hoodie.
I think the orange hoodie is symbolic of their disruption, right? Of who they are. And so they chose a color that is, you know, bold, and they did a great job. It's a simple hoodie. It's orange with the white, you know, silhouette of the WNBA player, their logo on it. And smartly, whoever is in their marketing there sent it around to influencers, a lot of male athletes, people in entertainment, and we just started to see pictures of it everywhere. So what was the outcome? You can't get one. Try and get one right now.
Yeah, I did try because I felt a little left out that clearly I was not a big enough influencer to get one of these hoodies. So not that I'm bitter about it, but I thought, well, then I'm just going to buy my own, and now I can't.
Right. Unless I think every single size is almost gone, except I think some real 5XLs for men. I think that's what's left. So the cool thing about it is when you look at the WNBA store, it's sold out of men's and women's size of it. So it's not just women's fans that were demanding this hoodie. And I mean, we saw LeBron James wear it. We saw people in entertainment wearing it. It was a lot of orange around Twitter this weekend.
Very visible. And I think the fact that the influencers had it, then it caught wind on social media, and it just took off. And what was really interesting about that is that it sort of proved the point that you and I and some of our colleagues have been making for a long time, is that when you provide excitement and visibility and promotion for women's sport, in this case, the WNBA, which the games were on mainstream primetime TV all weekend, is that if you build it, they will come. And the viewership and the sales and the excitement around the league right now is near an all-time high, if not at a high.
Yeah, the numbers, the viewership numbers from this weekend, you know, 20% over their previous high, I think, for an opening weekend, which was 2012. And then today, ESPN announced, I think, 12 more games they're going to broadcast on either ESPN or ABC, so prime channels. So it had an impact. It certainly did.
So are there other disruptions around the WNBA that we also should draw attention to? I mean, you mentioned quite a few at the outset, the fact that the league itself seems like a disruptor in this space because of their focus on social justice, because of putting Breonna Taylor's name on the back of their jersey, because they're putting Black Lives Matter on the floor that's visible, because in their pressers they're only talking about social justice issues and choosing to do that and having a common narrative of the league. Are there other disruptors that Bear mentioned for the WNBA at this current moment? Because by the time you and I talk again, there's going to be other disruptors in the WNBA.
Right. So I think one of the other things that I saw a lot of this weekend is the players' shoes. So if we're talking about merchandise, there was a lot of focus on what were these women wearing? Were they wearing shoes that were activist in nature? So we saw the jerseys and all that, and that's controlled by the leagues, but the shoes are the athletes themselves and what they choose to wear. And so we saw some pretty high-end models being worn. So most of them are wearing men's models, right? So they're wearing the LeBron or they're wearing the Kyrie or they're wearing one of those. There's few that are available for women only. But I think we're going to see that change because what we saw this weekend is, all right, orange hoodies, Breonna Taylor on the jerseys, and then what's on their feet. And that's the player's choice. So I think we're seeing the players disrupt that, saying, I can use my own style interests to sort of build my disruptive in the middle of my game. And who doesn't want to wear some really cool kicks? I mean, they showed them off really great this weekend.
And we will know when the sales of those are also sky high and sold out, then we'll know how effective that is. So levels of disruption. We have multiple levels of disruption happening. Can you walk our listeners through how we're all thinking about these levels of disruption in women's sport?
Yeah, I mean, so there's different ways we can have disruption come into it, right? So I just talked about athletes. Athletes are a key part of this because they have so many different ways to disrupt now. They're their own media channels. That didn't exist before, right? So they have a voice and a way to get it out to you and I and the general public. So that's a big way to disrupt themselves is the individual athlete. Teams can choose this. We saw teams make a lot of statements around Black Lives Matters. And now the big next thing is, what are they doing behind that? What's the money they're putting in and how are they using that sort of social justice to disrupt models? And then we can see leagues, and we're seeing that both, I think, from the NWSL and women and their choose to come back first and to put on their Challenge Cup. And we're seeing how the WNBA is putting on their season. So the leagues can do it. And then we have media companies and what they'll choose to do. And I think lagging behind, given the sellouts, is the merchandise, right? It doesn't seem to, in their models, they lag behind in disruption. So while the orange hoodie is a great play out by the WNBA, it's almost like the merchandise behind that decided not to take a full risky position on it, right? They don't want to have overstock. They'd rather sell out. And I think that's consistent I've seen across women's sports for years. We saw the U.S. women's national team jersey sell out last year. Why are the models around demand for consumer products not taking into account what's happening in women's sport? So I think there's different levels. There's outside levels that can come in, right? I think if we don't want to give away all our interesting ones, but I think there was a real interesting disruption in the NWSL with a new team that came in and the model they're putting together. But we'll talk maybe more as that unrolls. But that, again, is an outside model and a different way of coming into a league.
Absolutely important to focus on the multidimensional ways that we want to think about disruption of the normative male model of sport. And as we emerge from this pandemic, and we will, as I cross my fingers and am hoping for the best, we will emerge, that we keep these conversations and the focus on disruptors front and center for those of us who care about, study, and advocate for gender equity in women's sport. So before we sign off, Dr. Ann, anything else to add?
I think it'd be really incredible if we could get people to share their vision of disruptions with us, right? There's a lot of you out there who watch women's sports and advocate and passionate about it, and you're probably seeing things that we don't see. And I mean, the Tucker Center Here's Proof hashtag is a disruptor itself. It's created a place for all of us to share what we see happening and showing the demand for women's sport. And so it'd be really great if we saw people out there, any of you out there, I challenge you who's listening, send us who your disruptors are. What are you seeing that's changing the model from your point of view as a fan? What can we learn from you as a consumer? And what more do you think could be disrupted? Where else could disruption happen in this model?
You bring up two good points. Before I forget them, I'm going to jump in here. So one, thank you for plugging the Here's Proof hashtag. We invite everybody to join us. Anytime you see proof of interest in women's sport, whether it's fans in the stands, viewership data, sales data, whatever that looks like to you, hashtag it Here's Proof, post a picture of it, retweet it, share it. And the second is, I think we should start a new hashtag.
I think you're right.
Disruptions. So anytime you see or hear or are even thinking about, but you're not sure if it's a disruption and you are a fan of women's sport, hashtag it, disruption. And this is how we create a conversation and awareness, because the people that are paying attention to fandom and consumerism and excitement around women's sport, this will help us even generate more visibility that people are interested in women's sport. Join us. What do you think about our new hashtag?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean, we need to be able to put a whole conversation together around this, right? So hashtag it, tag the Tucker Center, get us to see what you're talking about, because I think everyone looks at disruption differently, and I'd love to see what other people are going to say. So hashtag disruption, what's happening in women's sport that you want us to see?
Great. We will look forward to seeing what you put out there. So as we conclude this episode of Tucker Center Talks, we'd love to hear from you. So tweet us at Tucker Center, at With Sport, or directly to me at Dr. Sport Psych. Check out our website at tuckercenter.org and follow us on Facebook or Instagram. You can find the show notes with links and resources for this episode at wisps.com. Look for the Tucker Center Talks under the Listen tab, where you'll find more conversations from the world of women's sport. Thank you for listening and helping us turn up the volume on women's sport. That's a wrap for episode 14 of Tucker Center Talks and the first episode of the Disruption series of women's sport. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time, and we'll be back in the future with more disruptions. I'm your host, Dr. Nicole Lavoie, signing off to make a difference in the lives of girls and women in sport.